Jesus left heaven to dwell on earth. Now in the stillness he comes again. Now I have witnessed his birth. Born in my heart, born in my heart. Jesus the Savior is born in my heart. He is no more a stranger. My heart is his manger. For Jesus is born in my heart. No room for Jesus, ruler of all. Never a dwelling to call his own. Come now, Lord Jesus, conquer my heart, enter and set up thy throne. Born in my heart, born in my heart. Jesus the Savior is born in my heart. He no more is a stranger. My heart is his manger, for Jesus is born in my heart. For Jesus is born in my heart.
Amen. Very good. Thank you for that, and I appreciate all the workers involved in this program this morning, and what a great blessing it is. Let's take the Word of God this morning, and we will go to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 2, and I want to get right into the message today. And of course, everything is very different, and we, as I said before, we may have people coming in, and that is just perfectly fine. But we're so grateful that you've come and that you're here today, and we're asking God to give us a great, great day. Tonight, I do want to encourage you to be here for our evening service, 6 o'clock, a special drama production, and it's going to be very, very special tonight. I know a lot of work has went into this, and so I want to encourage you to be here for this. Well, it's Christmas time, and it's a time of giving gifts, and I know as a child, I love to receive gifts, and I think every child does. Children are here today, and they'll be receiving gifts. But really, Christmas is about the greatest gift of all. That is about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And today I want to speak to you on this subject, God's Christmas gift to you. God has the Christmas gift for every one of us, and it has our name on it. It's God's Christmas gift. Today reminds me of the story I heard some time ago about an elderly grandmother, about 90 years of age. One Christmas, she came to a time when it was just a little bit overwhelming. All the grandkids that she had and the great-grandkids that she had, and she just got so overwhelmed with it that Christmas, she decided to just take Christmas cards, and she would write them out to all of her grandkids, all of her children, and inside there would be a nice note, but then it would say, please buy your own Christmas gift. And included in the card would be a check, a very generous check. So she spent some time and she wrote out all of those checks and wrote out all of those cards. And she mailed the cards. She was feeling good, thinking, I've taken care of everything as I needed to. It was probably about midway into December. She was going through some things in her desk and she opened up a drawer. And she found all the checks that were supposed to be in the cards. Now, let me tell you something. The gift was great. It was timely. It was out of love. But she forgot one thing. She forgot the gift. Can you imagine all those grandkids and children getting a gift? And it just basically says, buy your own present, you know? And that's a good idea, you know? Well, can I say this to you? Our God does not look at us and say, you make your own way to heaven. That's right. God doesn't look at us and say, you earn your own salvation. He doesn't say to us, buy your own Christmas gift. No, God has given us the greatest gift of all. Now, the thing about a gift is optional. You know, I could give a gift to my wife on Christmas Day, and if she were to look at that and say, no, thank you, honey, that would be very heartbreaking for me. She doesn't have to receive the gift. A gift is optional. A gift is something that must be received and something that must be accepted. Well, God has a gift for every single person that's ever been born and that ever will be born. God has a gift for us, and the gift of eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is not through the waters of baptism. It is not through church membership. It is not through doing good deeds. That's the very reason Jesus came, is because we cannot buy our own way to heaven. Today, God's Christmas gift to you. Let's read Matthew chapter 2, and let's begin in verse number 1. Now, I want to show you the story today. Understandingly, this is the story of our Savior. But I want you to see that these wise men, we do not know how many wise men there were. Many people think that there were three because there were three types of gifts. We don't know how many there were. But we know that these wise men came bearing gifts. The gifts are very symbolic. The gifts meant something. For instance, I give gifts to my family, but they're gifts that I've thought about. They're gifts that I know that they would like. There's gifts that I give to my wife that I know that she's going to enjoy. If I gave her a new 9mm, it just wouldn't really mean much to her, all right? Now, to me, that would be very good, you know. And but if I gave her that, you know, she'd be like, well, honey, you're going to have to hold on to this. This is not really for me. You know what? God gives us a gift, and it's for us. And these wise men came to Jesus, baby Jesus. They'd traveled a long ways, and they brought gifts that were very symbolic. Folks, God has a Christmas gift for you. Will you accept His gift? Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, folks, may I say to you that many years ago, God gave the greatest gift of all, and God wrapped His Son in swaddling clothes and laid Him in a manger. And you know what He said to you and me? This is my Christmas gift to you. God's Christmas gift to you and me. By the way, this gift was the gift of His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's gift to man is the expression of God's love for you and me. And by the way, this gift is for everyone. Amen. It is not just for some people. It is for everyone. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you came over to our house and if you looked underneath the tree, there would be gifts for my family and all of that, but I'm sorry, there may not be gifts for you there. But God's gift is not selective. God's gift is for everyone. Now, what about the gift of God? And let's talk today about God's Christmas gift to you and me. Number one, I want you to notice that this gift is a gift of glory. It's a gift of glory. You see, in fact, Paul talks about this gift of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, where Paul said, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Now, what was Paul talking about? That God's gift to you and me is unspeakable. It simply means that it is of great value. We cannot adequately describe the great value of God's gift. It is an unspeakable gift. It is of such great value that God gave His Son to you and me. In fact, when we go back to Matthew chapter 2, and I want you to look in verse number 11, this gift of glory, I want you to notice a few things here. Notice that the wise men brought gifts to the Lord Jesus. They brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, why gold, and why frankincense, and why myrrh? Well, these were gifts of glory, and let me explain to you. Gold was a gift for a king. This speaks of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that here was this little baby, but yet He was born a king. He was the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Gold speaks of His deity, that He is king. But frankincense, what is frankincense? Frankincense was an incense that was used in the temple when they would worship God, Jehovah God. In fact, this frankincense was mixed with the oil that was used to anoint the priest of Israel. In fact, Aaron and the sons of Aaron were anointed with this oil, this incense oil. And frankincense was a part of this. In fact, it was a part of the meal offering that was an offering of thanksgiving and praise to God. So can I tell you what frankincense represents? It represents Christ as our high priest. Brethren, today, do you know something? That you and I do not have to go to a man to have our sins forgiven. We go to Jesus Christ. Amen. And folks, come on, say something. He is the mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And by the way, there is only one mediator. It is not me. It is not anybody else. It is Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I tell you, when I was 17 years of age and I lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I can remember knowing and understanding that I was a sinner. I knew many sins that I'd committed, and I was a sinner. And because of my sin, the condemnation, the wrath of God was upon my life. I was guilty before God. I deserved to die and spend eternity in a place called hell forever. But can I tell you something? God, in His infinite grace and in His mercy, can I tell you what He did? He saved my lost soul. And on that day, I can remember coming to that old-fashioned altar there in that church. And I got on my knees. And you know what? I began to pray. I prayed to God. I didn't have to go through anyone. But I came through Jesus Christ. He is the mediator between God and man. I accepted God's Christmas gift. I recognized that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That there is no other way. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And on that day, I came to God in prayer through Jesus Christ. So gold speaks of His deity, that He is King. Frankincense speaks that He is our high priest. He is the one whose life was acceptable and well-pleasing to the Father. Jesus was the sinless Son of God. But what does myrrh symbolize? Now, myrrh would have been a very odd gift to bring to a little baby. We've had lots of baby showers in our church, and where ladies bring little gifts and they bring them to the child and to the mother. And that gift obviously is an appropriate gift. It might be clothes. It might be a crib. It might be some teddy bear. It might be something. But the gift is appropriate. And you know how it works. The mom sits there and she opens all the gifts and the ladies ooh and awe about this gift that they've gotten. And you know what? Guys don't do that. You know, we just like, you know, hey, you know, we just punch each other on the shoulder and go on, you know, something like that. But, you know, they look at that gift. But myrrh, can I tell you what myrrh was? Myrrh in the Old Testament time was used in embalming. This gift speaks of his death. Can you imagine that it was not offensive, but it was appropriate for those wise men to bring myrrh, a spice that was used for embalming? This was a gift of faith that these wise men were bringing. They were acknowledging that that baby was coming to die for the sins of all mankind. Jesus was not here just to do great miracles. He did that. He was not here just to do good, and he did that. He was not here just to teach, and he did that. But Christ was born upon the face of the earth for one purpose, and that was to go to the cross and bleed and die for the sins of all mankind.
Amen.
Gold, deity, frankincense, he is our high priest, and myrrh speaks of his death. Oh, listen, this was a gift of glory. God's Christmas gift to you and me is a gift of glory. Secondly, God's Christmas gift to you and me is a gift of grace. Let's take our Bibles, if you would, please, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. Most, in fact, pretty much all of our Christmas gifts do not operate on the principle of grace. They don't. Let's be honest. I give gifts to my wife because of love for her and what she means to me. Now, we will have been married this coming July for 24 years that God has given us life together, and we're so thankful for that. She's my best friend. I love to give her gifts. In fact, my kids make fun of me every Christmas. Like, Dad, how many gifts are you going to give Mom? You know? I think they're jealous is what it is, you know? But I give her gifts because of how much she means to me. But we give gifts to our children because of what they mean to us. We love them. They are related to us. That we have a special connection together. But can I tell you something? That's how we give gifts. We give gifts out of familiarity. We give gifts to our friends, to our family. We may give a gift for someone that has helped us recently with maybe going through something. We give gifts because we want to show our love and our appreciation and our affection. But God's gift of grace is much different. It's a gift of grace. We do not deserve God's Christmas gift to you and me. There's nothing that we have done to merit His gift. There is nothing that we have done to say, yes, God, I deserve the Christmas gift. Oh, no. We do not deserve His gift. You see, we make no claim, and we have done nothing so noble that God would say, yes, I will give you my Christmas gift. It is a gift of grace. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and I want you to look in verse number 9 and notice what the Bible says. It says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Can I tell you what that is? That is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know the grace of God, there it is, that though He was rich, He left the splendor of heaven and He came down to you and me. He gave His life for you and me. Though we were poor. And by the way, we're not talking about material possessions. We're talking about poverty. That, folks, we can do nothing to earn our way to heaven. We can do nothing to obtain salvation. We can do nothing to make a way for us to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can do nothing to pay our sin debt. And in our poverty, Jesus came from heaven.
Amen.
The splendor of heaven. The glory of heaven where He was worshipped, where He is praised. And He comes to earth where He is rejected among men, where He is spit upon, where He is mocked, where He is lied about. He comes to men who despise Him. Oh, listen, He became poor so that you and I could become rich. Oh, listen, this morning, listen, it doesn't matter what you have materially speaking. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have everything today. We are wealthy in the eyes of God because we have God as our Savior, and we can pray, and we know that we will spend eternity with the Lord. You see, this was a gift of grace. I want you to notice that first he was rich. Let's think about the richness of our Savior. Folks, can I tell you something? He didn't leave heaven in search of riches. He had the universe at his disposal. Oh, listen, brethren, Jesus Christ left everything to come to a sin-cursed world. In fact, he took upon himself the robe of human flesh. He was 100% man, and yet he was 100% God, and yet he was without sin. He was rich, but secondly, he became poor. Now, I want you to hear me out. What does it mean that Jesus became poor for you and me? You see, he was rich in eternity. He became poor here on earth in time. He left heaven for a remote village in a forgotten province to join a despised race, the Jewish people, to be born of an obscure peasant lady named Mary in a stable, wrapped in rags, placed in a feeding trough instead of a crib. Jesus left all of that and he humbled himself. Why? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes," think of that, "for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Folks, can I say this to you? It's not that Jesus became poor. He was made poor. Now understand this. We can be made poor. Did you know that? By circumstances, we could be made poor, physically speaking, and with maybe our financial situation, but not Jesus Christ. Of his own free will, he became poor. He chose poverty. He chose to leave everything. Listen, we don't deserve God's Christmas gift. We do not deserve that God gave us everything, and he left everything so that we might enjoy all. You know, I'll be honest with you, I don't think any of us can adequately describe and understand this. We cannot understand what the Lord gave up for you and me. And you know something, I believe that most parents in here would agree with me that you would give up everything for your children. You would. You'd give up everything for your spouse. You'd give up everything. I mean, you would surrender it all. I believe parents in here and spouses in here would say, "I would die for my children," or "I would die for my spouse." But I'm going to tell you something. I just wouldn't do it for other people. I would not become poor for others. I have a family to take care of, and I have a wife and children. I want to take care of them, but I'm not going to become poor for others because I don't know them. I'm not attached to them. There is no love really that I have for them, but God gave his only begotten son for strangers. God gave his only begotten son for people who despised him and rejected him, who scorned him. Jesus became a man of sorrows for you and me. How could he do that? It was simply one reason, because of his love for you and me. Amen. You see, this gift, oh, it was a gift of glory, but it was a gift of grace that for your sakes and my sake, he became poor that we might be made rich. Oh, listen, today I'm rich in the fact that my sins are forgiven. I am rich in the fact that God is my Heavenly Father. I am rich in the fact that God hears my prayer. I am rich in the fact that I will spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. Listen, we are rich today if you know Jesus. Amen. God's Christmas gift to you is the greatest gift of all. That we might become rich. Can I tell you the whole purpose of heaven? The whole purpose of heaven and Christmas is that Jesus came so that all of us in our poverty might be made rich. Now you might say this morning, "Well, Pastor, you don't deserve that." No, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve God's Christmas gift. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents took me to church. I'm thankful for that. And by the way, I tried to live a pretty decent life, but I was still wretched before God. I was still guilty before God. In fact, the condemnation of God's wrath was upon me because of my sin. I don't deserve His goodness. I don't deserve that in my poverty He made me rich. But that is the grace of Jesus Christ. And by the way, folks, if you and I deserved God's Christmas gift, then we wouldn't need Jesus. Do you understand something today? I believe it is a mockery and a blasphemous thought to think that we have to do something in order to obtain our salvation. Can I tell you? Jesus did it all.
Amen.
He paid it all. He sacrificed it all. And when He died upon the cross, He said, "It is finished." It is complete. God's penalty and payment for sin is paid in full with the death and the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, listen, let me tell you something. That is grace. It is not that we deserve it. Oh, may I say to you that He who was rich became poor for my sake, that through His poverty I might be made rich. Number three, not only is this a gift for a gift of glory, it is a gift of grace. But number three, it is a gift for the guilty. Now I want you to take your Bibles and go to John chapter number 3, if you would please, this morning. John chapter number 3. And I want you to notice something. This morning, as we talk about Christmas and we talk about our Savior, I want you to understand that it is a gift for the guilty. You may say today, am I guilty before God? Yes. As we have a Christian school here at our church, and I thank God for the students. And when things get really pretty bad, they get sent to my office, all right? Now, it has to get to a certain level. First, they got to go to the principal's office, and if that doesn't get straightened out, then they've got to come to pastor's office, all right? And you know, honestly, I don't want them to come to my office for that purpose. I want them to come for candy and gifts and things like that, all right? And that's how it's been, and I thank the Lord for that. But there's times when they come to my office, and so sometimes I'll come back from a visit, and the secretary will say, "Pastor, you've got two kids in your office, or you got someone you need to talk to." And you know, sometimes I have a hard time not laughing while I'm in there talking to them, all right? Because you know, when they're sitting there before me, it's almost like they have a neon sign on their forehead that says, "Guilty," all right? That's kind of what it says, you know? Now, there's sometimes when they will not be honest. I mean, kids are always honest, right? You know? And sometimes they won't be honest. But you know, all over their face, it is like guilty as charged, you know? They're guilty. And when I talk to the teacher, "Oh, Pastor, they lied to you. Pastor, here's what they did." And then when I say, "Did you lie to me?" "Yeah, Pastor, I'm sorry, I lied to you," you know? They're guilty. And folks, can I say this to you? You know, sometimes I'm sure you've maybe seen little videos of kids that have been in the cookie jar, or they've been eating something, and their mom says, "Did you eat that?" And it's all over their face, but they're shaking their head no, you know? How many's ever seen something like that before, right? Maybe you've experienced it, all right? You know, their mouth is full of the very thing that they say they're not guilty of consuming, and it's all over their mouth, it's on their hands, whatever. But you know what? We are just like that before God. God knows every detail of our life. He sees where no man can see. He sees our hearts. He knows every thought that we've ever had. He knows every motive of our heart. He knows, we might say, "God, I'm not guilty." But God knows that every man and every woman and every boy and girl is guilty before God. Can I tell you, we are sinners. Listen, that's why Jesus came. It's because we are sinners, and because every man has sinned. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Listen, Jesus was the only one that fulfilled the glory of God. He was perfect. He was sinless. But no man has ever fulfilled that. We cannot attain to God's glory. We come short of the glory of God, the glory of His perfection, the glory of His holiness, the glory of His righteousness. We can never fulfill that. But Jesus did. And Jesus was the only one who could die for our sin debt. He was the only one who could pay for the substitutionary wrath of God. Jesus was the only one. You see, we are guilty. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Listen, today you may say, well, I've not done anything too bad. Why is it that we characterize or categorize sin? Why is it that we think that some sin is not as bad as other sin? Folks, God looks at our sin as sin. And can I tell you something? Our sin separates us from God. John chapter 3, let's look if you would please. And what the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse number 16. You know this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That word there means to spend eternity separated from God in hell, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Look in verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Do you know that we look at the birth of our Savior as something very wonderful? But Herod and their other people hated that Jesus had come into this world. Why? Because they lived in darkness. And let me tell you something. Darkness hates light. That's right. It hates it. It despises light. And when Jesus came in, listen, He did not come. God said, I didn't send my Son to condemn the world. They were already condemned in their sin. But when Jesus came, He was light. And can I tell you what He did? He shed light on their darkness and their filthiness and their wickedness. And before God, they knew that they were sinners and they hated Him. Can I say this to you, brethren? Jesus came as light because we are in darkness. We are in under the condemnation of God. Would you go, if you would please, to John chapter 3 and notice what it says in verse 36, the very last verse of this chapter. It says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now the Bible says to believe. Now let me explain this to you. The belief is just not acknowledging that Jesus is real. In fact, the Bible says the devils believe also and tremble. Listen, the devil knows that there is a true Jesus, and the devil knows that there is a real God. But we understand that the devil and his demons, they will not inherit eternal life. They will not spend eternity with God. They will spend eternity in the lake of fire, separated from God. So what is this belief? This belief is to put our faith. This belief is to put our trust and our confidence. This belief is to recognize and to acknowledge that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Do you know people have different ideals about the way to heaven? People may think, well, Pastor, I think it's kind of this way. I think God one day is going to take our good, He's going to take our bad, He's going to weigh them. And if our good outweighs our bad, then God's going to let us into heaven. And if our bad outweighs our good, then sorry, we have to spend eternity in hell. Folks, that sounds fine, but that's just not true according to the Bible. Listen, if that was true, then it's up to you and me. Then it's my work. It's my labor. Then it's what I can accomplish here on earth. It's how good I can be. It's how good the things I can do. But the Bible says that our righteousness, that's the best that we can do before God, is as filthy rags in His sight. That's right. Do you know something? The best that I can do, the best behavior, the best good works that I can do, the best works of goodness and sacrifice that I can do before God are not good enough to pay for even one sin. Can I tell you why? Because God's Christmas gift to you and me, it's a gift for the guilty. Listen, we are guilty before God. We have sinned in the eyes of God. We have broken His commandments. In fact, the Bible says, if you break one of them, you have broken them all. We are guilty of breaking them all. Oh, folks, can I tell you today, Jesus descended to earth that we might ascend to heaven. Jesus became poor that we might be made rich. Jesus was born so that you and I could be born again. Jesus became a servant that we might become the sons of God. Jesus had no home that we might have a home in heaven. Jesus was hungry that we might be fed. Jesus was thirsty that we might be satisfied. Jesus was forsaken that we would never be forsaken of God. Jesus was bound that we might go free. Jesus was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus died that we might live. Folks, do you understand? Jesus did all of this for you and me. In fact, what did the angel say in Luke chapter number 2? It said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." I love it that he said, "unto you." Unto you. Listen, it's for you and me. It's God's Christmas gift to you and me. Brethren, today, if you want to accept God's Christmas gift, you must realize some things. Number one, you need to realize that God loves you. Do you understand today that there is a God in heaven who, although He knows every detail of our life, although He knows our sin, He knows our wickedness, He knows that we are guilty, that God loves us with an uncaused and an immeasurable love. And by the way, it's an unlimited love. God never stops loving us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loves you. The second thing that you must realize is not only that God loves you, but that you are a sinner. We don't like to talk about sin. In fact, we live in a world that has just gotten rid of sin. There's just no more sin anymore, at least in the world's eyes. They've excused it. They've rationalized it. They've justified it. But can I tell you something? We are sinners before a righteous and a holy God. We have sinned. We have broken His law. We have broken His commandments. And because we are sinners, can I tell you, we are in need of a Savior. Why? Because, listen, the wrath of God is upon every person that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The condemnation of God is upon their life, and they are going to spend eternity separated from God. People might say, "Well, Pastor, wait a minute. God is a God of love, Pastor. God in His love would never send anyone to hell." Brethren, can I tell you something? God in His love gave His only begotten Son so that none of us would have to suffer hell. We send ourselves to hell when we reject God's Christmas gift to you and me. We chose to sin of our own. We broke God's law and we are guilty before God. In fact, Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." That means eternal death. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Folks, you also need to understand that Jesus is the only Savior that you need. Can I tell you something today? You must accept that gift. Later on, kids will be coming down the aisle and they'll be filing across here and they'll be getting gifts. We try to keep them from not opening the gifts right here and now. You can imagine what that would be like. And we give them a gift. Can I tell you something? The gift is paid for. We don't say to them, "Hey, that'll be 20 bucks, all right? You know, pay on your way out, you know." No, we don't do that. When I give gifts to my children on Christmas morning, I don't say, "Putting that on your tab, all right? You owe me." No, paid in full. When God gave the greatest gift to this world, Jesus came as a little baby. He could have come as a man, but He came as a baby. He came to walk among us, to dwell among us, so that we would know that He understands us and loves us. But the very purpose why Jesus came was to go to the cross. Oh, listen, the death of Jesus on the cross really is the real story, the true story of Christmas. We almost like to look at Christmas just as Jesus being born. But folks, really, the whole story of Christmas is that He was born to die on that cross. As Jesus hung on the cross, God took the sin debt of the entire world and He took it and He placed it upon Jesus. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And on that day, the billows of God's wrath rolled upon His Son, and God literally turned His back upon His Son because God could not look upon sin. Jesus suffered the separation of His Heavenly Father. On the cross, He died for you and me. And He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can I tell you why? For you and me.
That's right.
God forsook His Son because of us. Because He loved us so much. And when Jesus cried out, it is finished, it is paid in full. And they took His body from the cross and they buried Him in that borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. Alive forevermore. And let me tell you something. He offers the Christmas gift for each and every one of us today. Listen, you may say today, well, Pastor, I've sinned so much. I've done so many wrong things. And I just can't. There's no way God has a Christmas gift for me. Listen, He has a gift with your name on it. Listen, He offers you the greatest gift of all. Years ago, I heard this story. This took place years ago in the city of Chicago. It was one cold, dark night. A blizzard was setting in on the streets of Chicago. There was a little boy who was selling newspapers on the corner. People were coming in and out of the shops, in and out of the cold, and the little boy was so cold that he just wasn't trying to sell newspapers any longer. He walked up to a police officer and said, "Mister, you wouldn't happen to know where a poor boy could find a warm place to sleep tonight?" He said, "You see, I sleep in a box around the corner down the alley. It's awful cold tonight. Would you know where there might be a warm bed for me to sleep in just for tonight?" The police officer looked down at the little boy and he said, "Sonny, you go down to the street to that big white house. Son, do you see it down there?" And the little boy said, "Yes." He said, "You go and knock on the door, and when someone comes to the door, you simply say to them, 3:16. And he said, "Son, they will let you in." The boy had never heard of 3:16, and he kind of wondered about that. And so he took off down the road and down the street to find the big white house. And sure enough, he walked up to the door, and he didn't know about 3:16, but he knocked on the door. And a lady came to the door and he said, "3:16. The lady with the big smile on her face said, "Well, come on in, son." She took him in and sat him down before a fire. And there he warmed his hands. He was cold and hungry. She fed him that day. In fact, she said, "Sonny, have you eaten?" And he said, "No, I haven't eaten in a couple of days. And I guess I could stand a little bit of food." She gave him all the food that his little tummy could handle. He thought to himself, 3:16. Boy, I sure don't understand it, but it makes a cold boy warm. After he had eaten for a while, he said, 3:16, I sure don't understand it, but it sure makes a hungry boy full. She took him upstairs to a bathroom. He hadn't seen a bathroom in a long time with a bathtub. She filled it with warm water and she said, "Son, you go ahead and take a warm bath and get all clean." He was dirty, filthy, living on the streets. The only bath that that boy had seen in a long time was when a fire hydrant had busted and he had gotten wet and cleaned up a little bit that day. And there as he got out of the bathtub and he took the towel and he washed himself, cleaned himself off and dried himself, he thought to himself, 3:16, I sure don't understand it, but it sure makes a dirty boy clean. The lady came down the hallway as he was out and she took him to a room and she tucked him into a big old feather bed and pulled the covers up around his neck. She kissed him goodnight and she turned the light out. And as he lay there in the darkness and looked out the window at the snow coming, knowing that he could have been in the alley that night, he thought to himself, 3:16, I sure don't understand it, but it sure makes a tired boy rested. The next morning as the lady came upstairs and she took him down again to the table where all the food that boy could eat, She fed him and she allowed him to have some new clothes that day. And then she said, "Son, I want you to come over by the rocking chair and by the fireplace." And she sat him down and she said, "Son, do you understand John 3:16?" And he said, "Ma'am, I've been wondering about that the day that I arrived here." She took the Word of God and began to explain to him about Jesus, and that God gave His only begotten Son, and that God loved little boys just like him. And even though he was a sinner, and even though he was dirty with sin, God wanted to cleanse him and give him a home in heaven. And right there, on close to that fireplace, and there before that old rocker, the boy put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he said to himself, John 3:16, "I don't understand all of it, but it sure makes a lost boy feel saved." Folks, I'm going to tell you something. John 3:16, I don't know that I understand all of it. How that God loved us so much. People who are sinners. People who rejected Him. People who spat upon Him. And God loved us enough that He was willing to give His only begotten Son. And He allowed Him to be born in a barn. He allowed Him to be humbled. The God of glory, and He came to show grace upon you and me. I don't understand it, but I know this. I know when I was 17, as I told you before, I accepted God's Christmas gift. And I know I'm not perfect today, and I have a lot of faults and failures, but I know this. I know that I'm on my way to heaven, and I know that God is my Father, and I know that I'm a part of the family of God, and I can never do anything to lose the family of God. Folks, today, God has a Christmas gift for you, but you must accept that Christmas gift. He has it for you. His name, your name is on that Christmas gift. You can reject it. You can despise the gift. You can say not at this time, but God has a Christmas gift for you. And brethren, today, you're here not by accident. You say, "I came to watch my friend or my grandchild or my child today." Oh, God brought you here on purpose because He wants to give you a Christmas gift today. We have gifts for all these kids. We don't have gifts for the adults. I'm sorry about that today. But God has a gift for you. Amen. The gift of eternal life. He's paid for it in full. What must you do? Is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognize that He is the only way to heaven. And Jesus is the only Savior that you need. And you cannot save yourself. And Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I make you a promise today that I know God has already made. And that if you'll come by faith to Jesus Christ as a little child, and if you'll ask Him for salvation, He will willingly give you God's Christmas gift. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. No one is looking around, and this is the most important time of the service here today. As much as possible, let's be very, very still. Today, if you're here and you would say, "Pastor, I have already accepted God's Christmas gift. I've already asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior, and I know that I'm a part of the family of God." If you already know that this morning, no one is looking, but would you lift your hand and hold it up high and say, "Preacher, I already know God. I've accepted His gift." Thank you. You may put your hands down. But maybe you're here today and maybe you could not raise your hand. And maybe today you say, "Pastor, I need God's Christmas gift." You say, "Pastor, I just don't deserve it. None of us deserve it." He said, "Pastor, I got to get some things cleaned up first." No, you come to God like you are, and He cleanses and washes you and forgives you. In fact, He said, "To him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He will not cast you out if you'll come to Him in faith. Today, if you're here and you do not know where you would go if you died today, can I invite you to accept God's Christmas gift of salvation? Can I invite you to accept it this morning by faith and prayer? And just a moment, if you're here and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you do not know where you would go if you died and you've never accepted God's Christmas gift, then would you accept it today? And I'd like to lead you in a prayer, because it is through prayer, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you call on Him now? I'd like to help you call on the name of the Lord as someone helped me years ago. Right now, if you'd like to ask Jesus to be your Savior and you want to accept God's Christmas gift, would you pray this in your heart to God silently? God will hear you. He will forgive you. And He will adopt you into His family. The prayer goes something like this if you'd like to pray this silently to the Lord. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I trust Jesus as my Savior. Help me live for You from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Would you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just another moment? I make you a promise today that I will not embarrass you or call you out. I just want to pray for you. But how many would say, today, Pastor, I prayed with you for the first time and I accepted God's Christmas gift and I asked Jesus to be my Savior today. If today you prayed that prayer with me, would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Preacher, I prayed that prayer with you and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Today, if God has dealt with you in any way, maybe you did put your faith and trust in Jesus, leave your seat and come. Maybe today you would like to come to this altar and thank God for His Christmas gift. And maybe today you would like to come and pray for someone that needs to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin the invitation. Father in heaven, we love and thank You for Your goodness. And Lord, I pray that You will help us today to thank You, to be grateful for the Christmas gift that You've given to us. And Lord, if we do not know You today, I pray for those that do not know You, that they would accept You this morning. We love and praise You and thank You for Your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. We'll go to hymn number 543. Jesus, I come out of my bondage, sorrow and night. Jesus, I come. Today, the Lord has dealt with you. You need help. We're here to help you. If you want to come and thank the Lord, come and thank Him. If you want to come and pray for someone, come and do that at the invitation. Hymn number 543. Brother Stevenson's coming to lead us.
Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come.
Seated. We're so grateful that you have come today and so grateful to have these visitors. And make sure that if you didn't have a chance to fill out that visitor card, you can just give it to my wife and I as we will be at the back. And we're so grateful that you're here. I believe the kiddos are coming in and we have some
Kiddo coming in, music. All right, that's good. All right. And they're coming in, and they're going to be getting gifts, all right? Now, we start with the 2 and 3-year-olds, and then right after that, we have the 4 and 5-year-olds, all right? And so, you can let them go, that's fine, all right? So, Dad, you can bring them up here, all right? That's good, all right? All right. That's good, all right? They're coming up. So, we have the guys' gifts over here, and then the girls' gifts over here. That's great, all right? All right. They see mom and dad. They want mom and dad more than presents. All right. Hey, buddy. Good to see you. All right. They're getting gifts. There you go. All right. Now, kids, y'all wait to open these. All right. There you go. Great. Fantastic. All right. Very good. They're coming in and they're getting gifts. So, guys over here to get your gift, and girls over here. Good deal. That's great. All right, that's good. Yeah. All right. There we go. Y'all can just stay right on the main floor and we'll get it to you. All right. Special delivery. All right. All right, guys over here and the girls over there. There you go. Fantastic. Okay. That's great. Very good. Now we're having some of the first graders coming in. This is great. They can come this way. Good job, guys. Great. All right. Parents, we'll let them open up in your car, all the present, riffrafting, all that. That's fine, all right? Okay, guys over here, girls over here, very good. Okay. Good, we can send them on, that's great. Okay, they're coming down. So well behaved, all right? This is great. I'd be well behaved if I was getting a gift too, you know? Fantastic, all right? Okay. Great. We've got plenty of gifts. Now, if you're in the auditorium, you're just sitting here, and if you're a child, please come on up and we'll get you a gift as well. All right. Just come on up at this time and that will be good. All right. All the way up through the 6th grade. Okay. Fantastic. Okay. Good. Every Sunday morning, we have children in the back in programs and children's church. And so while we're having church in here, they're having church back there. So it's very exciting. Very, very good. Okay. All right. Girls are still making it. We still have gifts. Come on down. That's great. I know we're dealing with some of the 6th graders now. Is this 6th grade? Yes? Okay. All right. The smartest, right? Okay. Fantastic. All right. Any other boys? Any other kids? 2 and 3s? All the way up through 6th grade. Anybody else needs a gift, come on up at this time and we will get you a gift. All right? All right. Very, very good. Anybody else? Okay. All right. I think we've taken care of all of them. All right. Well, let me explain just a couple of things right after this. We're going to dismiss in just a moment. And we thank you so much for coming and being a part of this. And I do know we have gifts for the little kids, right? The babies, and we'll take care of them. We've got that back there. All right. Anybody else needs a gift? All right. Very good. Thank you very much. Thanks for being here this morning, and I appreciate your faithfulness to come. If you came in at the normal hour, we apologize. We do this every year, and we start at 10 o'clock. And next week, everything will be back to normal, right? And such a normal that I won't even be here, all right? So maybe that'll help keep the normality. But you pray for my family and I. As I said earlier, we leave on Friday, right after the Bible Club. You pray for the Bible Club this Friday, and I'm praying God will do a very special work there. It'll be our 3rd one there. You be in prayer. But we're heading to Knoxville to see my folks. I'll be preaching for my dad on Sunday. My dad calls me all the time and says, "Son, can you come down here and preach for me?" I said, "Dad, I've got to preach here." "Oh yeah, I forgot, you know, and all that." But I'll be preaching for my dad, and my fam and I will be together. We have, as I said, not been there in probably a dozen years during Christmas time. And so my kids are coming home from college on Wednesday. You pray for them. We're excited to get them home. And Thursday night this week is our midweek service, 7 o'clock right here. Victory Christian School will be presenting their program. And I want you to come. And then tonight at 6 o'clock, come. We'll have a special presentation, and we want you to see it. Now, my wife and I are going to be standing in the back, and we have a special Christmas gift card, family picture that we want to give you. We've done this for as long as we've been here. And some of you, you're going to have to get a bigger refrigerator, all right? Because I go to your homes and you have all 11 years of our portrait on there. And, you know, it's okay to take them off after each year, all right? We won't be offended, all right? And you can put them in the basement, keep the mice away, whatever, all right? And so that'll be just fine. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. I pray that you'll be back tonight. And let's ask God to do a great work in this evening service and throughout this week. And let's be faithful to Him. Would you stand together, please? Brother Stevenson's coming. And if you have an announcement or whatever, and then close us in prayer.
I was building this thing yesterday. I didn't realize how big it was. So if I could have a couple of men help me take it down, I think we could. It's big and heavy. So if you have just a second to stay around and help me take this down, we're going to take it right down there. That I would sure appreciate that. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us, and we thank you for this church. And Lord, all the kids that were able to come and get a present, Lord, I pray that we would still be able to have an impact in their lives. And Lord, not only that they would remember us, but most importantly that they would remember you and what you did for them. Lord, thank you for this Christmas season. I pray that you give us safety on the road. Bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.